So for Parshas Toldos, we're going to come. Actually, if I can trouble you to get a chumash, or at least if I one chumash is enough. Oh, is this a chumash? Great. Okay, so open up if you don't mind to Toldos, because we'll need that. The Gemara, the Agadita in the Sechta Yuma on Daf Chav Chesam Beis is very famous, and on the pasuk in Parshas Vayera, and that speaks about Avram Avinu. The pasuk says that Avram Avinu fulfilled the Torah, and the Gemara says that when it says that Avram Avinu fulfilled the Torah, that's a reference to not only Torah Shebichsav, but even Torah Shebalpeh, which is amazing. And Torah Shebalpeh obviously includes even Derabbanos. And the Gemara calls our attention to one particular mitzvah Derabbanon, and that's the mitzvah of Erevin. Now, the question is which, you know, there are many different mitzvahs of Erevin, but the Gemara specifies Erev Tavshilin. And an Erev Tavshilin means that if Yontif falls out right before Shabbos, and we want to cook on Yontif for Shabbos, we're not allowed to do that unless we set up an Erev Tavshilin. I would like to read the Gemara differently, the different Midrashim, not the Gemara, but that Erev might be a reference to Erev Tchumen, that allows you to leave the Tchum beyond 2,000 Amah. In any event, what we want to study is the Maharal Prague in one of his outstanding philosophical works, which is called Netzach Yisrael. And in the 46th Perek, he quotes this Gemara, and he raises the question about the nature of Erev Tashu. Now keep in mind that the Maharal is interested in what we call pardes, meaning he's not interested only in pshat, but he wants to take it down into deeper levels to find symbolic significances to bits, to various mitzvahs. So what is the significance on a symbolic level of the concept of Erev Tavshilin? And maybe if we get to the bottom of that, we could possibly answer why the Gemara focuses our attention in terms of Avraham Avinu on Erev Tavshilin. And he says the following. He says that Shabbos symbolically represents Olam Haba. We say that Shabbos, that's Me'ein Olam Haba. And we have a principle that the Gemara establishes that Misha Torach be Erev Shabbos, Yochal b'Shabbos. If you prepare for Shabbos, then and only then will you have food to eat on Shabbos. Misha Lo Torach be Erev Shabbos, my Yochal. If he didn't prepare on Friday, what's he going to eat on Shabbos? So symbolically, what this means is that in this world, we have to be Torach. What does Torach mean? To work hard. We have to really put in a great deal of effort, sweat, and toil in order to prepare for Olam Haba. We have no right to enter into Olam Haba. That's why I always say to people, you know, we are challenged, and especially in the last period of time, we've been challenged so with such difficult challenges, and people complain, why is HaKadosh Baruch Hu making it so difficult for me? Couldn't he make it easier for me? But the answer is that if you want to be Zocha in Shabbos, in Olam Haba, you need to be Torah. Torah means you really have to overcome certain difficulties. So we tend to be lazy and laid back. We want the easy way out, but that doesn't necessarily guarantee us a place in the world to come. It's not for the challenges. He says, what does it mean when we have a Yontif right before Shabbos? What's the symbolism of Yontif, and particularly Yontif before Shabbos? He says that a Yontif, which is a great period of time, you know, let's say if you have the calendar year and you isolate those days in the calendar that are Yontif, those are great days. You know, we're really having a hupla, we're having a pleasure, it's enjoyable, we're family together, we eat together, and we all the festivities. So Yontif represents a period in one's life, a day in one's life, which is kulo tov. You know, it's just pleasure and enjoyment. And he says that symbolically, that represents the last moment before Olam Haba. Yontif is one step removed from Olam Haba, from Shabbos. Shabbos represents Olam Haba. And Yontif, especially if Yontif falls on Erev Shabbos, represents that last period of time with total goodness and total tov, right? The totality of Tov before Olam Haba. When is that? Rabbi say, what is the period of time right before Olam Haba? Yemos HaMashiach. Right? So there's Mashiach, and then there's Olam Haba. Mashiach represents that time period in which we could really enjoy ourselves, and you know the clarity of Yemos HaMashiach. That's what Chazal say, that Umolas or it's Deos Hashem, right? We'll be able to see Hashem and know Him and appreciate His commands and His mitzvos at the time of Mashiach. That's what we would call Yom Tov. That's already a good time. That's an easy time. That doesn't require a great deal of tircha. He says, V'oz, lo yevashel b'tchila b'hem l'shabbos. You're not allowed to begin cooking on Yontif for Shabbos. Why? She'ein Yontif mechin l'shabbos. The Gemara in Beitza has a rule that you're not allowed to prepare for Shabbos on Yontif. Says the Maral, what does that mean symbolically? He says he wants to be masakin himself, fix himself up before, so that he gets, so he merits Olam Haba. At what time period? In Yemos HaMashiach, on Yontif, to start your preparation for Shabbos, meaning during Yemos HaMashiach, when everything is easy, everything is clear, you have no challenges, the stones and the impediments have been removed. Sheheim Yomim Tovim, Oshar Yomim Tovim Sheish Liadam, and this symbolizes the Yomim Tovim in everyone's life. We all go through experiences where we feel so close to Hashem, everything is good, everything is revealed, oh, we thank Hashem. Those are days of Yontif, those are days like Yemos HaMashiach. Is then lo yuchal l'saken mayochal olam haba. What does it mean to prepare yourself olam haba? You have to go through challenges, and you have to overcome all these barriers and difficulties. Shezeh eino she'im makayim mitzvah ma'isim tovim b'shvil she'esh l'harbe tovos. If a person is dedicated to fulfill the mitzvahs, and he does the ma'isim tovim because Hashem showers upon him all the goodness, v'umekayim mitzvos, and therefore he fulfills the mitzvos, ze eino klum, he says. That doesn't really shine. That doesn't prove and establish how great he is. Again, Maral's language, you'll notice, is very extreme. You know, he's almost discounting those mitzvos that a person fulfills when they're easy to do mitzvos. Right? We have a principle in Masechet Avos, lefum tzara agra, that God gives us and grants us reward and merits because of the tzara, about all the difficulties that we put in. The symbolism of the fact that if you don't put down an Erev Tavshilin, then you cannot cook on Yontif for Shabbos, means that you cannot prepare for Olam Haba during Yemos HaMashiach when the times are good. And then he invokes a pasuk in Eov. Okay, this is a complicated pasuk, but basically the Satan comes in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu asks him to evaluate Eov, and basically to critique Eov, and the response is that, you know what, Eov has all the blessings of the world, you know, he has wealth and he has children and the close family ties. That's no big deal. You know, Eov has not really earned a great status, a great place, because everything was easy for Eov. And that's when Hashem decides to test Eov with all the tragedies of Eov. Ulefichach, I'm fast forwarding a little bit. Ha'adam imut tzadik mipnei atov. If he is righteous because of all the goodness that God has bestowed upon him, and life is easy, feeling groovy, ein ze davar, that doesn't prove a thing. On a Yom Tov, when we have all goodness, when it's like the Yemos HaMashiach and everything is clear, that's not the time period to prepare for Shabbos. That doesn't give you rights to enter into Olam Haba. Rak im hiskel levashel lifnei Yontif. But if, let's say Yontif is on a Thursday, and he starts on Wednesday to prepare for Shabbos, he's not experiencing a Yontif, and therefore he's preparing for Shabbos. It's not even Yontif yet. That's called an Erev Tavshilin. He doesn't wait until Yontif because you're not allowed to start preparing for Yontif, for Shabbos on Yontif. Already on Erev Yontif, he begins on a day which is not Yontif, preparing for Shabbos. In other words, he's doing mitzvahs and ma'asim tovim on a day that's cloudy, so to speak, that's difficult, that faces challenges. Then he's really preparing himself for Olam Haba. And that, says the Maral, is what the Gemara means in Yuma when it says that Avraham Avinu was Mekayim all the mitzvahs of the Torah before they were given, even Erev Tavshilin. Shenemar, because it says, V'sorasa Echadivrei Torah V'echadivrei Chachamim. And why do they isolate this particular mitzvah derabanan of Erev Tavshilin? Because the answer is, you could ask the following question. Avraham Avinu is being praised here by the Pasuk as being so great. Why is he so great? You're telling me he was Mekayim Kol HaTorah Kula? I'll tell you something else, says Maral. He had all goodness in his life. And that's going to be the Pasuk that we saw in last week's Parsha. Hashem Berech Es Avraham Bakol. He had everything good.
At the end of his life.
Excellent. Okay, you're up. You're being mechavi to the Maral. Right now, the question is: when did Avraham Avinu do these mitzvahs of Hashem? Did he do it on Yontif, or did he do it on Erev Yontif? That's the question. So right now, he's presenting the thesis that Avraham Avinu is preparing himself all of Abba on Yontif, on a day that's Kulo Tov, on a day in which Berech Es Avraham Bakol. He didn't suffer all the anguish of raising children and all the confrontations that were typical of the lives of his children, of Yaakov and of Yitzhak and Yaakov.
He did, didn't he?
Yeah, we can get back to that in just a minute, Michael. That's what Shalom was pointing out. But when we look at Yitzhak, we see that Yitzhak from his early childhood was a Bal Yisurim. He suffered tremendously. In fact, according to Chazal, he actually died on the Ofro Shel Yitzhak al Mizbeach on the Akedah. And not only that, he became blind and he suffered from Esav, who was trying to fool him, and the enmity between his two children. Yaakov declares, this is towards the end of Chumash Breishis, Kel Shakai Sha'omar Li'olam Odai Yom Litzarasi Dai. He turns to the Ribbono Shel Olam and says, Shakai. He says, Shakai, terminate my suffering in life. May Olam, oh, this word I can't make out. May Eidol Lo Noch. It should say Noch. The Ches is a little bit split. Velo Shalev. He had no calm in his life, no serenity in his life. Every time there was another tzara that pounced upon Yaakov Avinu, whether it was Lavan, whether it was Esav, and so forth and so on, and then the enmity amongst the brothers. But lo kein hay Avram, meis b'seva tova. The Torah testifies about Avram Avinu that he died b'seva tova, not like Yaakov Avinu, not like Yitzchak. He didn't have a life of suffering, a chain of suffering. And if you want to see a long presentation about this, says the Maral, I refer you to my book, Gvuras Hashem. Ulefichach, that's what the Gemara wants to point out. You're misunderstanding, you're misevaluating Avraham Avinu. Even his mitzvot were like the Erev Tavshilin. He prepared for Olam Haba before Yontif, before the good days. Dechol kiyum ha-mitzvah hayal derech zeh. His mitzvot were like the preparation for a Suda of Shabbos on Erev Yontif through Erev Tavshilin. Shekodem zeh kvar nisaseh. Before he reached the Seva Tova, in the bulk of his life, of his years, he was tested over and over again. According to Chazal, the test of the Akedah took place when Yaakov Avinu, in one opinion, was 48 years old. I'm talking about the Akedah, the test of Avraham Avinu. Already early in his life he was being tested. The Nisyonos of Avraham Avinu began early in his life. At what moment in his life did HaKadosh Baruch Hu finally appear to Avraham Avinu?
75,
so many decades passed. And Avraham Avinu is searching for the one God. And one Nisayon of the other. Even after Hashem finally appears to him, Lech Lecha, you know, leave your homeland where you're comfortable. V'im Kain, If that be the case, then all the trials and tribulations, that whole chain of Nisyonos, began way before the Hashem Berech HaSavrav Bakol, and he was Zocha to save a Tova, to be buried to save a Tovim, came. Hischil Kodim Yontif L'Tachinus HaShavis Nisnase Shushlach L'Kivshin HaEish. We talk about the first of the ten Nisyonos when he was thrown into the fire. The common Nisyonos and other many tests and tribulations and difficulties. The Oz, and only then, Hayakonesh Shlemus, did he reach the level of perfection. Umayla Af B'Yomim Tovim Shohayelo Atov Bolam Azeh. But that's only the Yontif of Avram's life. Most of Avram's life was the Erev Yontif, was the Erev Tavshilin. So that's the beautiful presentation of the Netzach Yisrael and Maral Prague to justify why is it that of all mitzvahs that the Gemara wanted to isolate and pinpoint to praise Avram Avinu, the choice was which mitzvah? Erev Tavshilin. And here there are a number of psukim that we want to study here about Parshas Toldos. And hopefully we'll come back to the presentation of the Maral a little bit later on. In Parshas Toldos, when Rivka sends her son Yitzchak to steal the brachos, her son Yaakov, to steal the brachos, so she says, Hinei shamati es avicha, so forth and so on, v'ata b'ni shma b'koli. She sends him to Shnei Gdiei Izim, etc., etc. And then Yaakov Avinu raises an objection. Ulay Misheni Avi. So she says, Vatikach Rivka es Bigdei Esav Bino Hagadol Hamudos Asher Ita Babayis Vatilbash Vatalbeish es Yaakov Bino Hakatan. I happen to have a chumash with an English translation. Rebecca then took her oldest son Esau's clean garments, which were with her in the house, and clothed Yaakov, her young son. That's in Pasuk Tesvav. Let's fast forward to Pasuk Lamed Hey for a moment. And in Pasuk Lamed Hey, when Yitzchak finds out that it was Yaakov who took the brachos, and Esav turns to him and he says, Barcheni gamani avi, give me a bracha too. Vayomer. And Yitzchak responds, Ba achicha bimirma, vayikach birchasecha. Your brother came bimirma and he took your brachos. And immediately after the words, Esav still has a taina. He counters and he says, Vayomer, hachi karashmo Yaakov, yakveni ze pamayim, es birchasi lokach, vine ato lokach birchasi. And then he says to Yitzchak, halo atzalto li bracha? Have you not reserved a blessing for me? So the Chasam Sofer asks four questions. He says, first, question number one, how is it that that Esav says, halo, Atzaltali bracha. He says it in a positive, definite way. How is he so sure that there was a bracha that was left over for him? Number two, what does Esav mean when he says Ve'akveni ze pamayim? He held me back twice. And then when Esav finds out that the brachos were stolen, he lets out a giant roar, right, a cry, and Yitzchak responds to Esav, "Ba'achicha b'mirma." I mean, what is that supposed to be? You know, your brother came with cunning, and he was sly, and he took the brachos. Is that supposed to calm down Esav? Very strange. My taina, who's there? Well, what's he saying to? What is the deeper meaning of Ba Chicha B'mirma?
He said he didn't do it deliberately. Didn't give it to him deliberately.
Maybe he was defending himself.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
Okay. Next question. Hinei Ksiv es Bigdei Esav Bino HaChamudos. Why did the Torah have to add that word Chamudos? What's the deeper significance of that? So, Rav Osai, we're going to study the insight of the Chasam Sofer. He completely revolutionizes this whole parsha. and answers these four questions in a very, shall I say, original way. And I want you to hold, you know, hold your seats here, because this is based on so much Kabbalah. And truth be told, when I first learned this Ksam Sofer, I said, I can't understand the depths of these mystical concepts. But then I was reminded of a Musa Shmuz that I learned in a Sefer that I always love to quote, called Sichot Musar of Reb Chaim Shmulevitz. Reb Chaim Shmulevitz was not a Kabbalist. Again, if he studied Kabbalah, I don't know. But certainly, his Musa Shmuzim were the Litvisha style of Musa that stands on the shoulders of Rabbi Yisrael Salant. It was not based on any sort of Kabbalah. And why do I mention this? Sichot Musar of Reb Chaim Shmulevitz. Because for Parshas Noach, he has a whole shmooz about objects, physical objects. He speaks about the Teva of Noach, and he proves with Chazal in a brilliant way that the Teva, because it was built by Noach, and Noach, how should I say, invested in the Teva, in the very fiber, you know, in the very carbon of the Teva, a power of Hatzolah, only the Teva that was built by Noach, and no other Teva could protect the people and the animals, etc., from the Mabul. And he goes on, and again, I'm giving you just the tip of the iceberg, and he extrapolates, he speaks about the Me'il, that cloak that was woven by Chana for her son Shmuel. And Chazal tells us that great miracles happened whenever Shmuel would wear this cloak. In fact, Shmuel got this cloak from his mother when he was a tot, when he was a young boy. And he never stopped wearing it until the day he died. And it grew with him. It's sort of like the miracle that happened. And not only that, but Shmuel had the need of compassion, says Reb Chaim Shmulevitz, because when she wove this garment, she penetrated, her compassion penetrated into the very fabric of this cloak, of this me'il. And whenever Shmuel wore the me'il, that investment of chesed, of compassion, of his mother Rachel, came from the cloak and penetrated into the soul of Shmuel. And I always think, I don't know if any of you here can tell me that you have a machzor that you inherited from a bubby, from a great grandmother, and you can see the stains, you know, of the tears on the machzor. And maybe that machzor has, I know that in the circles I hang around with, one of the things that they say about Rav Soloveitchik, my Rebbe, is that he had the tefillin of Rav Chaim. They're locked up somewhere in a safe in Boston, you know. And once in a while, he would put on the tefillin. Meaning, there's something about a physical object that could really impact upon a person. And this is a shmooze from Chaim Shalevitz. You can't suspect him or accuse him of Kabbalah. So, having said that as an introduction, let's learn the Ksam Sofer. And what is the significance of the big day Chamudos of Esav, and why Rivka felt compelled to borrow, so to speak, these bgadim lahalbish es Yaakov. He says the following: Nirali nias daiti. Quotes Yerushalmi in Moed Katan, and the Yerushalmi says an amazing thing: Malbushav shal adam neetzolim mikdushaso shal halovish. He says that a person's clothing are saturated with the sanctity of the person who wears those clothing. By the way, when in halacha is it significant to wear special clothing?
Kahuna.
Excellent, big day kuna. What else? But I'm not a Kohen. Shabbos, right? We wear big day Shabbos. There's so many halachas in Shulchan Aruch about big day Shabbos. I think that's going to take us back in a moment to the Maral Miprag about Shabbos, that the begadim of Shabbos, to the extent in which they're designated for Shabbos, take on the Kedusha, according to the Yerushalmi, of Shabbos. But who did behefech? Oh, here's the Chiddush of the Ksam Sofer. This is not in the Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi speaks about Kedusha. The Ksam Sofer wants to swipe it around, switch it around to the opposite of Kedusha. That's Tumah. That if the person who wears these begadim is Tameh, and I'm not talking about, you know, halachic tumah, I'm not talking about contamination, I'm talking about ethical tumah. He says, Ye Otzel Olav, is achrav if somebody puts on these begadim afterwards. So if it's the first person who wears the beged is kadosh, then yotzal mel sel ruach litov ulamutov. It could go either way, says the Chasam Sofer. If it's litov, that means the person who wears these begadim will be impacted and inspired to good. But it could also be lamutav. It could be chas shalom for evil. Besod asher yilvashem tachas tachtov mibonav. He quotes a pasuk to indicate that there is the person who puts on the begadim of his father is going to be impacted by the midos of his father. Vehine tum asel shel Esav. If you talk about the begadim of Esav and they were contaminated ethically, what was, if you have to define the essence of the tum of Esav? He was a murderer. That is true, but the Chasam Sofer has a different take on it. He may have been guilty of murder, but that's not the source or the root of his evil. The root of his evil is chemda, that he desired things that other people have, and he would do whatever he had to do, the mirma with cunning and lying and cheating in order to obtain and possibly even murder. And if he fell for someone else's wife, he would, because he was chomed, he had this tremendous passion and desire for her, he would figure out a way of getting her. He says, basically, his violation is the last of the Aseres HaDivros, the lav of Lo Sachmod Eishes Reecha Ubeso Avdo V'Amoso V'Chol Shel Reecha. And Rashi, he says, in Shir HaShirim, says that the Shtei Luchos HaBris, five on one side and five on the other, they correspond one to the other. So what's the fifth? The last on the right is Kibud Av, and what's the fifth on the left side? Is Chemda. And the Chasam Sofer presents the thesis that whenever you're full of Tumah, you also have some sort of spark of the opposite of that Tumah. That's called Zelu Mazeh. He says that what was the greatness, if you could say it, of Esav? What was the good part of Esav? Was Kibud Av Va'Em to offset his tumah, which was Lo Sachmod. He says, Yadua ki kaved mechaven luach rishon, kaved, excuse me, kaved esavicha, mechuvan beluach rishon on the right side, keneged Lo Sachmod on the luach sheni. Lachain haisak tzas nitzos kedusha b'esav, b'maisa de kibed esaviv, that his kibud av ha'em is a bit of a spark of goodness, of sanctity in Esav, which corresponds to his tumah, which is Lo Sachmod. Aval kol tumas Lo Sachmod hayubo. But in Lo Sachmod, it wasn't just a little bit of a spark. It was a totality of his being. Esav, if you want to define, identify his being, is Lo Sachmod, is Chemda. Umizeh hayu begadav mitumos, and therefore the begadim that he wore was saturated with tuma. Vikaro hachamudos daika. The word chamudos, if you break it down to its shoresh, to its root, what's the root of chamudos, which describes his begadim? Chemda or chamed. So it's not a matter of coincidence, says the Chasam Sofer. I mean, this is so brilliant, you know. A non-Jew could learn the Chumash from now until doomsday. He would never see this because he doesn't even know Lashon Kodesh. And even if he knows a little Hebrew, but who would know that there's a connection between Chamudos in the description of the Begadim of Esav and the Chemda, which defines the Tumah of Esav. And guess who's going to wear, by virtue of the command of Rivka, these Begadim of Esav, the Bigdei Chamudos? Yaakov. None other than Yaakov Avinu. Now Yaakov Avinu represents the antithesis of Chemda. He will not lie for anything. Ulefi shakish ba Yaakov ish tam. Tam means truth. Leramos aviv, but now he has to fool his father in order to bestow the brachas upon. Vehulo yochel otzi dormi piv. She'eno kulu emes. The poor guy doesn't know how to lie. An amazing statement of the Chasam Sofer. Yaakov Avinu didn't have within him to lie. You should know, I once heard about the Chafetz Chaim, Zichrono Livracha, that the reason why, I think his son writes about his father, the reason why the Chofetz Chaim dedicated himself, the Chassidus, to all the mitzvahs except for one. Lasel Sholem Ben Ish L'Ishto. If there was marital conflict, the Chofetz Chaim would send it to somebody else. Why? His son said he physically couldn't tolerate Lashon Hara. And there's no way that you can make shalom between a fighting, without hearing him. Is Yaakov Avinu physically couldn't get a lie out of his mouth? Ach, l'tzorech shalom. There was a pressing moment, a need of the hour. Al kein, therefore Rivka, his mother, hilbishto, big day achamudos. And what impact would the big day chamudos of Esav have on Yaakov? If he saw Yatzilov be big day Esav osa me the love of Bimirma. This is a person who's totally dedicated to Chemda. That's the name of the game. In order to achieve his goals, he's a Balmirma. In fact, how does he convince his father that he's a tzaddik? How does Esav convince his father? You remember what Chazal say? Rashi quotes it. It's all mirma. Well, what kind of business? No half a meaning that Yechayev Chumas of Maisus on salt. But he thought he would convince his father. Al Kain, Achar Shehirgish Yitzchak Beruach HaKodesh Shalom, Ki Yaakov Hu HaMavurach. After the brachas were bestowed, and Yitzchak now, through his Ruach HaKodesh, understood that it was Yaakov who got the brachas. The Eich Ba Birmiya, and he had done it through Ramiya, the Alkain, Lavash, big day are Ramai, that was the reason why when Yitzchak felt, he felt Yaakov, it was the big day Chamudos of Esav, that means the Midah of Mirma, Vehu Esav, and he thought it was Esav, Ki Ata Kfar Nizgala Hakoli Yitzchak, now he realized that Yaakov really came as Esav, meaning he had the levush of Esav, that mirma of Esav. Al kein Amar, and therefore he said, ba achicha b'mirma. What's the deeper meaning of ba achicha b'mirma? Pirish. It means she ba im amirma shenis labish ba lefisha. Ki lule, if not for the fact she ba im mirma lo hayochel liramos. And basically what Yitzchak is saying to his son Esav is that he was using your power. He was just utilizing your special ability of Ramos in order to get the brachos. Heshev Esav shtei tshuvas bedover. And Esav came up with two counter arguments. Chada, number one, vayakveni zeh pamayim pirish, shekvar terem shalavash bigdi Ramos shli kvar imani. Esav accused Yaakov of coming with Ramos even before he wore the big day chamudos. You can't, Yitzchak, you can't blame me and my begadim and my midos. Yaakov already expressed the midah of Ramos when he got me to sell, he got me to agree to sell the bechora. Which again, I wouldn't call that Ramos. I would say he used, when Esav was down, he used him at a weak moment. But Esav accused Yaakov of Ramos. Vesu, and I have another argument. Kishem shenetzal olav al yidei malbushim michem deshali hu adin akshav shenizbarach Yaakov osa malbushim vishuv lov sham Esav atoim kein me'aroi shalpi al yidei malbushim yeotzel gam olav me'abrochos. If wearing the begadim was the vehicle and the conduit to bring about the brachos for Yaakov, now, says Esav, I'm wearing those same identical begadim, that should be goreim, that should cause you, Yitzchak, my father, to be able to bestow upon me brachos. That's what he means when he said al yideh malbushim. Yaakov did not exhaust all the powers of the malbushim. I still have a relationship to the malbushim. They're my malbushim. I come to you now, my father Yitzchak, wearing my malbushim. If the malbushim bring about the bracha, I have a claim to the brachos. V'heishiv lo Yitzchak enochinami. The truth is, your arguments are solid. But there's a problem, a technical barrier. He says, "Ach ba'mer varechecha." That's the next pasuk that Yitzchak says, "Ba'mer varechecha." It's a problem because really, you don't own these begadim. You think Esav, you own the begadim. You may have owned them before this ma'isa, before the episode. Now you no longer own them, and why is that? Because what bracha did I bestow upon my son Yaakov? V'yishtachvu lecha b'nei imecha. That you Yaakov will be the master over the children of your mother, meaning over Esav. Esav is now an Eved to his brother Yaakov. Umashe kona Eved, kona Rabo. You're coming to boast that you are the owner of these begotten, if you have rights to another bracha. You are not the owner of the begotten. I've already established that Yaakov Avinu is the master and you are the Eved. Umashe kona Eved, kona Rabo. These begotten no longer belong to you. And I would add to the Chasam Sofer that I believe that if you look in the various statements of Chazal, these Bigdei Chamudos were the Begadim that Hashem gave for Adam HaRishon. There's a long history to them, these Bigdei Chamudos.
Also Nimrod,
and Nimrod absconded with them.
He kills Shais, Nimrod, he takes them.
And he takes the Begadim by force.
Esav kills Nimrod, and Esav takes
the Begadim. And now the Begadim are being returned to their real owner. In other words, through the lineage, it's really Yaakov Avinu who deserves these Bigdei Chamudos. But at that moment, those Bigdei Chamudos were saturated with the Midah of whom? Of Esav, the Chemda of Esav, and the Ramos of Esav. And look how the Chasam Sofer embellishes this in his commentary on last week's Haftorah and Parashas Chayisara. You remember that David HaMelech is freezing cold in his old age, and they bring him the Shunamit, this young girl, to warm him up. And what's the obvious question? If you were cold at night, let's say there was no heat, right, so what would you do to warm yourself?
Light a fire.
On a blanket.
Okay, let's say there was no fire. You would put blankets on yourself. You wear some very warm pajamas. I mean, I assume that in certain parts of the world it gets pretty cold, so they wear warm pajamas. Vehine says, "Chasam Sofer Yadanu ki David HaMelech." Okay, so wait a minute. Let me give you a little background here. So Chazal say that Begadim did not help warm up David. Why? It was a shtickle punishment.
Because of Shaul.
Exactly.
From what?
Shaul HaMelech, because if you remember when David was running away from Shaul, he decided not, even though he had a moment in which he could have killed Shaul, he didn't want to touch Shaul. Shaul was a Mashiach Hashem, he got the Mashiach from Shmuel to be the Melech, but he figured, what the heck, I'll rip off the corner of his garment. What made David think that that he doesn't have to hesitate ripping off the garment, cutting off a piece of the garment of Shaul? David all shalom charad mi od liga b'mashiach Hashem. He would not chas shalom hurt Shaul. Achosh b'David thought ki ein kedusha, there's no sanctity b'bigdei atzadik. B'gadim are only external. They're not part of the goof of the body of the tzaddik. The body of the tzaddik is holy. It's like a sefer Torah, but not the b'gadim that cover the body. Heim rak nartik lekankan. Kankan means, the contents, and nartik is the holder, the container, the receptacle of the kankan. The receptacle has no sanctity. And the Chasam Sofer uses his mathematical genius to tell us that knaf me'il, which is the part of the cloak of Shaul that David ripped off, has the same gematria as kankan. Okay? Ach be'emes, David missed the boat. Kaim alone we paskin, this is Gemara on Shabbos, towards the end of Shabbos, matzilin tikka sefer ma'sefer. In a fire situation, Rachmana Litzlan, we're allowed to take a sefer Torah out of a house, even into Rishus HaRabim. And not only are we allowed to do so for the sake of saving the sefer Torah, we're also allowed to save its mantle, what we call the tick of the sefer Torah, because that too has kedusha to it. And lachain, since the knaf, the knaf hameil of Shaul had kedusha, because it was the cloak that Shaul, the tzaddik Shaul, wore, therefore David HaMelech was punished because he inadvertently undermined that kedusha of the begadim of Shaul HaMelech. Lachain, as a punishment, lo chimemuhu begadav, his begadim would not warm him. And here the Chasam Sofer says something absolutely stunning. Again, this belongs to the world of Kabbalah, of Sod, of mysticism. He said, what is warmth in the case of Bigdei Tzaddik? It's not physical. The warmth that we're talking about here is not something physical. You can't interpret it alpi physics, alpi teva. But rather, it's like a tzaddik who eats food. when a tzaddik eats food and he's sustained, that sustenance is not coming from the physical, biological food, ki'im, but rather mishefa elyon. Every single physical object has as its source, what generates it into existence, is something called shefa elyon. It's the benevolence of God that somehow flows down to this world, and that is totally spiritual and divine. And that's why the Gemara in Ksuvos tells us that Rabbeinu HaKadosh testified about himself that he never had any benefit from this world, no pleasure from this world, afilu bi'etzba ktana, even one finger. But wait a second, did Rebbe fast for every day of his life? He ate. So he had benefits and hananah from the food he ate? The answer is no. The food normally gives you chiyus, and that's a physical process of nutrition. But that's not what happened in the case of Rebbe. Rebbe converted his whole essence, even his body, into something spiritual. And when he ate kol chiyus, or whatever chiyus he got from his food, it was really connecting to the Shefa Elyon that breathes life into a person. And the same thing that we see in food applies in begadim. That begadim are not just physical. Begadim are also spiritual. The kasher David lo chashev came, but because David HaMelech denied this truth, and he thought that the begadim of Shaul HaMelech had no status, they were not spiritual, al came, therefore his punishment was midah keneged midah, lo chimemu habegadim, his begadim could not heat it up. A tzaddik, in order to warm himself, needs something spiritual through these begadim. And if we compare the first Chassam Sofer and connect it to the second Chassam Sofer, what we could say is that there's a spiritual element in Begadim that is a result of the fact that the tzaddik wears the beged, and that's what the Yushalmi says, that Malbushav shall adam netzolim mikdushaso shall alovesh. And therefore, the Begadim of Shaul HaMelech, insofar as Shaul HaMelech was a tzaddik, there was a process of Hatzolah. Of Hatzolah means to penetrate, to expand the Kedusha of Shaul into the Begadim, and David, in a sense, desecrated that Kedusha. And if we take this concept of Begadim and the spiritual dimension of Begadim one step further, we can talk about Big Day Shabbos, the Begadim that we wear on Shabbos. And this is Rav Tzadok HaKohen in Parshas Vayigash. You know that on Erev Shabbos, Chazal tell us that the great Amoraim would go out to the fields to accept Shabbos, and they were misatev betalis. They wrapped themselves up in a garment on Mali de Shabsa on Erev Shabbos. The Gemara tells us about Rav Yanai, lovish mane male Shabbos. He had special begadim that were designated for Shabbos, and he would wear them on Erev Shabbos to go out while he was wearing them and receive the Shabbos, receive the Melech Malchei Amlochim. Or if you hold like the mystics that Shabbos represents the Shechina, which is feminine, Shabbos Amalka. And the Midrash tells us, Bameh Atom Akadsho, how do you sanctify the Shabbos? You eat special foods, you drink special drinks, and you wear special clothes. And Machal Mishta is a reference to Gimel Seudos of Shabbos. And this is all connected to the Neshama Yisera, the extra spiritual Neshama that a person has, which enters into a person on Erev Shabbos. And therefore his Begadim are penetrated, are saturated with this extra Kedusha of the Neshama Yisera of Shabbos. And the Zohar says that the Neshama is clothed in a talis, which is more of a spiritual talis, an abstract talis, but so too the Neshama Yisera of Shabbos is wrapped in a special garment, which is the ksus of Shabbos, the garments of Shabbos. I'm pointing out in parentheses here that in many communities, especially in the German communities, back in the day, they're very makpid not to wear those begadim during the week. They have to be designated for Shabbos and only for Shabbos. And Yontif clothes for Yontif. And there's a whole issue about Oshana Rabbah, exactly which clothes they wore in Oshana Rabbah. But they were very makpid on this. In fact, I don't know what you do, but what I do is after a while, when my big day Shabbos are already you know, they're getting old and worn out, so I wear them during the week. In the German community, they won't allow that. It had a din of Big Day Shabbos. It always has to remain Big Day Shabbos. If you don't wear it, don't wear it. But don't use it as Big Day Chol. And the Gemara tells us in Shabbos v'kibdoso, what does it mean to be mechabi the Shabbos? Shelo yeh malbushcha shel Shabbos kemalbush shel Chol. And Rabbi Yochanan called his clothing mechuba dosai. This is the cover that I have when I wear these begadim that are Big Day Shabbos. And the Shiltos is even more outspoken about it, that Mani de Lovish B'Shabbos, the Big Day Shabbos, are the same as Big Day Kahuna. Chazal say that when a Kohen goes into the Beis HaMikdash, if he's not wearing Big Day Kahuna, despite his Kedushas Kahuna, he doesn't have enough of a sanctity to do the Avodah. And Achashverosh tried to wear the Big Day Kahuna that were taken away at the time of the Churban. These, according to Chazal, were Big Day Shabbos. Big Day Kahuna Ksiv L'Chavad L'Tzifaras. And they're called Big Day Kodesh. And the Gemara tells us in Sanhedrin, Bizman Shebigdayim Aleim Kunosim Aleim, when can they serve as Kohanim? Only when they're wearing these Begadim. Because those Begadim have the power that's inherent in the Begadim to sanctify the Kohen and make him suitable to implement the avodah, the service in the Mikdash. And so too the Big Day Shabbos that we wear make us roy, make us suitable to enter into the Kedusha of Shabbos because we're sanctified by these begadim. So Rabosa, if we stop here for a moment and just summarize what we've been seeing here, the picture that's really the vision, in a sense, that's being portrayed in front of our eyes is about the significance of begadim. And we have to wear these begadim to prepare ourselves for Kedusha. In Yaakov Avinu's case, he had to wear Big Day Chamudos of Esav. He had to work very hard to get himself into the mode of Ramos by wearing the begadim that were contaminated by Esav. This was the great challenge that Yaakov Avinu faced in fulfilling the will of his mother. And in that sense, we see an exact parallel that dafka on Erev Shabbos, we have to wear the Big Day Shabbos to prepare ourselves for Shabbos, so that the Kedusha Shabbos will penetrate into our soul. And that's because we're wearing the begadim of Shabbos, like the Big Day Kahuna that prepared the Kohen with Kedusha Yisera to enter into the Mikdash and do the Avodah. And therefore the Maharal Prague submits to us that Yaakov Avinu, I think, although he doesn't mention Yaakov Avinu, would be similar to his grandfather Avram Avinu. Which means that just as Avram Avinu was Mekayim Erev Tavshilin, and he began preparing for Shabbos before Yantiv, which means before it was Kulo Tov, Avram Avinu in his early years faced 10 Nisyonos. And they were very difficult challenges. And yet, he was able to prepare himself for Shabbos, for Olam Abba, because he overcame all the difficulties and successfully was omed in all the Nisyonos. Yaakov Avinu later on is going to face a great Nisayon, and that is Ramos. He's going to succeed, as Rivka commanded him, only because he's wearing the Big Day Chamudos and being impacted with the contamination of Esav and the Ramos of Esav, that Mid of Chemda. And that's his preparation for receiving the brachos. And I think, Rabosa, we have to walk away from this entire discussion. Again, a lot more things that we can cover if we had time. But we have to understand that sometimes we are being put into challenges, like Avraham Avinu was and Yaakov Avinu was, to do the exact opposite of what would be comfortable, what would be natural for us. For Avraham Avinu to risk his life, to basically give up his life in the Kivshan Aish, or to risk the life of his son Yitzchak at the time of the Akedah, which really means to give up his son Yitzchak. I mean, all that is antithetical to everything that Avraham Avinu represented, to all the midos of Avraham Avinu and his chesed. And in Yaakov Avinu's case, Ramos, which is so antithetical to his mid of Emes, Titen Emes LiYaakov, it's impossible for Yaakov to say a lie. He can't get the words out of his mouth. But he has to do the opposite. And he has to be Lovesh, the Big Day Chamudos. That's the Avodah of Erev Shabbos. That's facing the challenge of doing the opposite of what we naturally, comfortably want to do, and that's what Klal Yisrael have to realize. The bris, the covenant between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the Avos, which will be passed down through the generations, is built on this commitment and this loyalty to prepare on Erev Shabbos for Shabbos, to prepare when it's difficult and it's not a yontif for Olam Haba. Yiratzam it be his will that we should be zochet to follow in the footsteps of our Avos, to wear begadim that have been saturated with Kedusha, that will project us into Shabbos, that will give us the ability for the Kohanim to serve in the Mikdash, because Kedusha saw Lamb when they have the begadim. Kein Yiratzom. Amen. Amen. Amen.